Module 6, Time. I'm a firm believer that everything organizing and productivity related, in the end, stems from how well we manage our tasks and our time. When we don't have a good sense of how we spend our days, or how we can better use our time, there's no way that we can be as productive, efficient, or effective as possible. This often leads to missed opportunities, loss of revenue, and general overwhelm from looking at our endless to-do lists. The Time module is dedicated to helping you learn easy ways to get a handle on all the things you need to do. You'll learn how to effectively prioritize, group, schedule, and delegate your tasks so you can get the important things off your to-do list. We'll also look at ways to manage your schedule and strategies for overcoming procrastination. But first, a client success story. A client who owns a bi-coastal small business was feeling overwhelmed by not only all the stuff in her office and on her desk, but also with all the myriad tasks that would come up during the course of a business day. Even though she had administrative help and other forms of support, she just never felt like she was in control of her day. Instead, she felt like she was always putting out fires. Sound familiar? When we worked together, we were able to centralize all of her to-dos and then effectively prioritize, delegate, and schedule them so they could be accomplished in a more productive and effective manner. The client story I just mentioned illustrates really well what happens for many people who start businesses for themselves. They've got so many tasks they need to do, they're usually wearing all the hats. All the different tasks that used to be accomplished by multiple people if they were previously employed now generally have to be accomplished by one person, or maybe one person with a couple of support staff. Usually the person in charge is the one who's delegating the tasks and managing how things are getting done. And if that person hasn't set up good boundaries around working, and hasn't set up easy strategies for managing the tasks and checking up to make sure that they're getting done, then things can quickly fall into disarray and overwhelm. It gets stressful just to run the business, let alone to do the work that you're in business to do. So one of the key things to think about when you are trying to manage your schedule more effectively and manage your tasks is how are you going to set up the boundaries around your work life? Some people really like having flexible boundaries, and that's one of the benefits of working for yourself, is that you can have things set up how you like them. But I encourage you to think about what are some structures that you can put into place, whether it's starting and ending work at the same time each day, or working from the same place each day as we mentioned in the previous sections about space, or maybe it's that you work with the same people on the same days each week. But having some structure or the same boundaries that can carry forth from day to day can help you be much more effective in terms of managing your time. One of the most important boundaries that you need to set is what your regular business hours are going to be. Again, this can be as flexible or inflexible as you feel comfortable with. You're in charge, you get to set the parameters around this, but I encourage you to set some parameters. For instance, you definitely want to choose how many hours each day you want to work and which days per week you want to be open for business. You also want to decide which hours each day will you open for business and when will you close the business day. Once you've decided what those hours are, the days per week you're going to be open, the hours per day, and your opening and closing hours, that's the general container for your schedule. Those are your working hours. You also want to factor in how many hours per week overall you want to work. And this is something that varies from person to person. I've worked with clients whose goal is to work less than 40 hours a week. They want to work maybe 3 days a week or 4 days a week. And others that I've worked with are so passionate about their businesses that they're happy, elated, to work 60 or 70 or more hours per week if they feel like they're using their time effectively. Whatever it is for you, choose it deliberately. And then set your working boundaries to accommodate it. Again, your boundaries are the days per week that you want to work and the hours per day. Once you've decided on that basic schedule, then it's time to let the people connected to your business know what that schedule is. If they don't know what your hours for being open for business are, how can you expect them to respond to them? You need to be able to communicate these effectively to the people who are connected with your business, and those would be your vendors, your clients, your family, your friends, your business partners and associates. All of those people need to know what your open and close hours are so that they can respect that boundary. That way you don't have clients calling you at 10 o'clock at night when you're really only anticipating being open for business until 5 p.m. Think about it, though. If you never communicate with the client that they won't be able to reach you at that time, how would they know? They might think that you're available whenever they happen to need you. And if that's the case for you, that's great. You want to let them know that. And if it's not, you definitely want to communicate when they can expect to reach you. One thing that's effective also is to let people know when they can expect to hear from you if they don't reach you during open business hours. So for instance, if a client calls you during your regular business hours, let's say they call you at 4 p.m. and you're open until 5, and they don't reach you, you might want to put in your outgoing voicemail that they can expect to hear from you within one business day, so that the expectation gets set. Once you've decided on these hours, you can let people know what those hours are in a variety of ways. You could post it on your website. You could leave it on your outgoing voicemail. If you have a retail storefront or a dedicated office space, you could post it on the door. But you need some way to effectively communicate this to the people connected to your business so that, again, they'll know, and you won't have to explain it to them every single time. In your workbook, there's a sample space for you to start filling in what your business hours are. That way we can start filling those hours in with the different tasks that you'll need to do during the course of a business day. Once you've created that basic container for your time, the days per week that you want to work and the hours per day, then you need to start blocking your schedule out with the different types of tasks that your business requires. And there's three basic types of time blocks that I'd like you to create, and there's space in your workbook to do this. First is production time. This is time that you spend actually doing your job, whatever it is you're in business to do, whether that's your service or your product, whatever it is that you are in business for, this is when you do it. This is your production time, when you actually generate revenue from your product or your service. Then, there's marketing time. This is the time you spend getting the word out about your product or your service. This is the time that you spend selling or going to networking events or generally marketing your work. This is not directly revenue generating, but if you don't do it, there will be no revenue coming in the door. So it's important to block out time for doing this. Then there's administrative time. This is the time when you spend managing your business, returning phone calls, processing your email, doing your filing or organizing, paying your bills, professional reading and development, all of those things that a business person needs to do, but that, again, just like marketing time, doesn't directly generate revenue. But this helps you do your job better, and generally, if you don't do these administrative tasks, your business won't be successful for very long. Also, it's important to schedule breaks. It could be lunch breaks or short little breaks throughout the day, but what I've noticed when people don't schedule breaks is that they don't take them. And when people don't take breaks, their batteries get burnt out really quickly. Even short little breaks, like a 5-minute break or a 10-minute break here or there throughout your day, where you completely step away from your work, can be extremely effective in helping to recharge your energy batteries. And having your batteries fully charged for your work is essential if you're planning on doing it over an extended period of time. What you don't want to do is work and work and work and work and get so burnt out that you can't imagine working anymore and then leave your business. Instead, if you schedule short breaks throughout your day, a lunch break and maybe one or two breaks throughout the rest of the day, that can be enough to give you enough rejuvenating energy to keep you going throughout the entire week. No breaks equals no energy. So make sure that you schedule at least a couple of breaks for yourself throughout the course of the business day. Now take your workbook and spend a few minutes determining how you want to build your time blocks into your day. A tip here, if you know that you're more of a morning person or more of an afternoon person, schedule your time to accommodate that. For instance, if you know that you're more of a morning person, you might want to schedule your most important business tasks for that time. So if you determine that your most important tasks are meeting with clients and you're in a service-based business, you might want to try to schedule as many of those for the morning as possible. And maybe you schedule your other tasks for other points throughout the day. The reason why you want to do this is when we schedule things when we have the most energy, we automatically do a better job on them because we're more alert, we're more awake, and we simply have more energy for the tasks at hand. So use that to your advantage as you're trying to make the most of your day. Schedule your time blocks for your most important tasks when you know you're going to have the most energy. Now that you've got your schedule blocked out to accommodate all the different things that you need to do during the course of a business day, you need to start filling in those time blocks with the different tasks that are associated with each type of grouping. Most of us have some form of to-do list, whether it's notes we keep on our phone, or a list we keep on the computer, or maybe we keep pieces of paper around with different lists on them. To-do lists in and of themselves are not effective scheduling tools. Rather, they're great for capturing ideas as they come up, but they're not effective for actually getting them done. The reason why is that there's no associated time with each of the individual tasks that's on there. Instead, it's kind of a nebulous limbo state for these tasks of, well, I need to get to them, I'm not sure when, they're kind of hanging out, and they're stressing me out on top of it. So we need to utilize our to-dos and our to-do lists a little more effectively in order to actually get them done. What I recommend doing is this. Have one master to-do list. If you've got multiple pieces of paper around, also some lists on the computer or on your phone, maybe you've got some post-it or sticky notes with lists or to-dos on them, try grouping those all into one notebook or one master list on your computer or one place on your phone. Keeping track of multiple lists and multiple pieces of paper with to-dos on them is simply too difficult. It wastes your time, and it's error-prone. It's so easy to lose a little piece of paper that has a to-do on it. When you've got everything in one place, you'll know where you can always look for where your to-dos are living. So the first step in managing your to-dos is to centralize them. If you've got them in multiple places now, take a few minutes and put them all on one master list. That way you can get a better lay of the land of what's in front of you. Make that your master to-do list so that all of your tasks from here forward can be found in that one spot. When you do create a master to-do list, make sure it's in a format that's easy to take with you wherever you might go. So if you know you're the type of person that will never carry around a notebook with you, you might want to look for a small pocketbook, or maybe something that can live on your phone that you can use to capture your to-dos. But make sure that you carry something realistic. I have one client who bought a beautiful, leather-bound, three-ring binder that she insisted she was going to use as her master to-do list. When I saw it, and I picked it up and saw how heavy it was, I thought, there is no way this is going to work. And lo and behold, she said she tried it for a day, it didn't fit in her purse or briefcase, and so it never went anywhere with her, and she went back to writing things on post-it notes. We had to find something that was of a different format that would work for her, and it turns out a small, half-sheet, spiral-bound notebook did the trick. So whatever size makes sense for you, make sure that you choose a to-do list that can travel with you wherever you might be, because you want to be able to capture ideas wherever you are as they come up. Once you have all of your to-dos in one central spot, then it's time to start prioritizing them so you can effectively schedule them. I like to use a system called 1-2-3-D. Next to each of your to-dos in your notebook or in your workbook, write the number 1 for the things that you must do and soon. Write a number 2 for the things that need to be done but not right away. And a 3 for things that you'd like to do someday, but if they never get done, it won't be the end of the world. Finally, write a D next to the items that you know right away could be delegated to someone else, whether it's someone on your team or a virtual assistant or someone that you're planning on hiring at some point in the future. Prioritizing your tasks in this way makes it much easier to schedule them. As you look down your list and you're writing in the 1s, 2s, 3s, and D's, try to be pretty ruthless about what things might not be that important after all. We often tend to associate equal level of importance with all of our to-dos, when in reality, things just don't work that way. There's always going to be some things that are more important or more pressing than others. Make sure you give those things that are more important the number 1 or number 2. And the things that may seem important at first, but in reality aren't that important, give those a 2 or a 3. As you go down the list a second or third time, really look at each item and ask yourself, do I need to do this task myself? Or could someone else even potentially do it for me? If that's the case, write a D next to it, and you can look at ways that you can delegate that task to someone else. Maybe not even today, maybe not in the even near future, but maybe at some point down the line, that type of task could be given to someone else for them to do. Remember, your time is extremely valuable, and the areas that you want to focus are generally the ones and the twos. You may be able to delegate in the future the threes to someone else, maybe even the twos, but you really want to focus your time on the ones. So go through your list and write down the one, twos, threes, and Ds. There's space in your workbook to do this. And evaluate which tasks are more important, which ones are less important, which ones can go away completely, and which ones can be handed off to someone else for them to do. Now that you've prioritized your tasks, there's one additional step before you can actually schedule them to be completed. In the column next to each of the tasks, write down how long you think each task will take to actually complete. This is another key thing that's missing from most to-do lists, is an estimate of how long a task will take. When we don't estimate, or even just guesstimate, how long we think something will take to do, there's no way to effectively schedule it. Just having a list of things that you need to do during the course of a business day isn't enough, especially if you've packed it so full of things that they could never actually be completed, or with not enough things to fill the time effectively. So go down your list of tasks and write down how long you think each one will take. Maybe you can use as a guideline how long things have taken for you to do in the past. That's a pretty good way to estimate how long things might take in the future. And if a task is brand new and you haven't done it in the past, think about how long similar tasks to it may have taken you in the past. That way you can start getting an estimate of how long these might take you to do in the future as you're scheduling them. Once you've estimated how long each of your tasks will take, and you've prioritized them, then you'll know not only which tasks you need to schedule first, but how much time they'll take once you put them on the calendar. Start by taking your number ones and plug them into the associated time blocks on your calendar. For all of the things in your to-do list, it's likely that they'll fall into either production time, marketing time, or administrative time. And since you already have time blocked out for each of those types of tasks, you can simply take the tasks from your to-do list and plug them into the corresponding time block. You already have time set aside for them, and since you have estimated how long each task will take, you can simply plug them into the corresponding time block. So you first want to go through your list and look for the ones. Plug those into your schedule. Then the twos. Plug those in as well. And if there are spare moments or time blocks left over, feel free to plug in the threes or maybe give yourself a break. You'll also want to schedule yourself a little bit of time for delegating tasks, if that's something that you're planning on doing. Anytime you delegate a task, it does require some time for you to manage the delegation process. So make sure you set aside time to manage that as well. Now, of course, just scheduling your tasks doesn't automatically mean that you're going to do them. It's essential that you actually use the schedule and do the tasks at the time that you've associated with them in order for you to effectively manage all of your to-dos. One thing that's nice to do is to have, in addition to your to-do list, a done list, where you list all of the tasks that you have actually completed. In the chaotic busyness of any person's business world, and most of our lives in business are pretty crazy and chaotic, it's easy to forget that we're actually getting things done. When we've got endless to-dos coming our way, it's hard to remember all of those things that we've already accomplished. And that's why it's nice to have a done list, where you can write down the things that you've actually achieved or accomplished or finished during the course of a business day. I'll bet that you're actually doing a whole lot during the course of a day. And if you can remind yourself of that fact, it can be extremely empowering. So in addition to your to-do list, I encourage you to have a done list where you can write these things down. Now, in terms of actually getting your tasks done, you've scheduled them, so it's important that you stick to the schedule. If for some reason something comes up and you're not able to finish a task at the time that you've scheduled it, Simply move it to the next available time block for that type of task. You already will have these things blocked out in your calendar. So if you're not able to get to something, don't feel too bad about it. Simply move it to the next available time block and shift it until you've actually completed it. This can be an effective strategy for managing things that take longer than you might expect, especially if tasks keep getting pushed off your list. One thing to know, though, is if you're continually not getting to a task, even when you're scheduling it over and over, that may mean that the task is not that important and can be crossed off your list, or it might mean that you need additional assistance in getting it done. That could be something to delegate or to subcontract to someone else. But use your schedule effectively once you've spent the time to actually break your tasks down, block them out, and put them on your calendar. This can be an effective framework to help you actually get things done. Now, a word for those of you who have interruption-based days or professions. For instance, if you're a real estate agent and you're constantly responding to client calls, you may not be able to have these large time blocks that other professions who have more office-based jobs might. So the answer for you is to have smaller time blocks with bigger buffers of empty time in between. That way, when you don't have a client that you need to respond to, you can work on the tasks that are within the time block. And as you're responding to client fires, you can shift your time blocks around so that you have the time to respond to the client's needs. You'll have to do a lot of shifting, but that's kind of the nature of the work that you're in. And as long as you have some things blocked out, some sacred time to process email or do your administrative or your marketing, you should be able to effectively still manage your time by shifting your time blocks around as needed. This has actually worked very effectively for a number of my clients. At least we can schedule some of the tasks when they know they won't be interrupted by clients, and for the times when they know they may be interrupted, their time blocks are broad enough that they can shift them around in order to accommodate the needs of their clients. So if you're in an interruption-based profession, make sure your time isn't scheduled down to the minute. That won't be effective for you. Instead, build enough flexibility into your schedule that you can shift things around to accommodate both your needs, your business's needs, and the needs of your clients. Now, this next topic isn't something that actually happens all that often, but I do get questions about it, so I thought I would address it here. What do you do when you have spare time? If I had spare time, I probably would take the moments to not do anything at all. But let's say you actually want to accomplish something if you have some spare moments. What can you do during those times? You may choose to go down your master to-do list and look for the number 2s or 3s. During your spare moments, those are a good time to work on the things that are not as high of a priority. You may also choose to use that time to take a break. You could take a few spare moments to walk around the block or call a friend or look up something online that is completely not work-related. You could use those spare moments to help recharge your battery. A third thing you could do with a spare moment is to catch up on some professional development or professional reading. These are the types of things that often get pushed aside during our other more high-priority task times. So if you have a few extra minutes, that's a great time to catch up on those things that can help keep you sharp professionally. So those are three different types of things that you could do with those spare moments should they happen to happen. In my experience, far more likely than us actually having free time is us instead procrastinating on doing the tasks that we know that we need to do. And the truth is, everyone procrastinates about something sometime. There's always going to be some tasks that we just don't want to do, don't like to do, or don't feel like we need to do at a given time. But in all likelihood, we wouldn't have scheduled them for ourselves if they weren't important in some way. So we need some strategy for figuring out ways to get over the procrastination hump and help us actually get to the tasks that we need to do. Here's a few strategies that I've used with clients that I've found particularly effective. The first one is keep the goal of the task in mind. Rather than focusing on the task itself, the task that you may not be so excited to do, instead, focus on what doing the task could bring you. For instance, will doing the task help bring you closer to generating additional revenue? Will it help you land an important client? Will it bring you more enjoyment or pleasure or more professional development? Think about what the end result is rather than the task itself. And that can be a very powerful motivator to help you get more motivated to do a task that you're not so initially excited about doing. Another strategy. Give yourself a reward for finishing a task that you don't like to do. The reward could be as big or as small as you would like it to be. So, for instance, finishing a task that you don't want maybe means that you'll get a reward of calling a friend, or going out to lunch, or reading something online that is completely not work-related. But think about ways that you can reward yourself for doing something that you don't like to do. A reward can be a very powerful motivator. Another strategy is to give yourself a deadline for finishing a task. Even a false deadline, like a kitchen timer, can be very powerful as a motivator. For some reason, many people respond well to having deadlines. That doesn't mean that they necessarily like them, just that they tend to work better when the clock is ticking down. So if you know that that's the case for you, and you tend to function well under deadlines, not that you like them, but that you function well under them, it might be worth it to try giving yourself a deadline for a task that you don't like doing. With clients, I use a kitchen timer, and we sit it on their desk. We'll set an amount of time for finishing a given task, we'll set the timer, and then we'll work to actually accomplish the task itself. Having a desk timer or a kitchen timer that sits there that you can see is, in my experience, much more effective than having a timer that lives on your phone or your computer. There's something about hearing the ticking and seeing it ticking down that makes it more powerful than something that just is nebulous or virtual that lives on your computer. So try giving yourself a deadline for a task that you don't like doing, and see if that's an effective strategy for helping keeping you motivated. Finally, a more advanced strategy. Try grouping all the things that you don't like doing, all the tasks that you regularly procrastinate about, and put those in one giant time block. You might call this time block tasks I hate, or things I don't want to do, or tasks that I dread. Whatever it is for you, try grouping those into one time block and taking care of them all at once. This can be a great way to end the week. So, for instance, if there's a bunch of things that you don't like doing, but you know you need to do them by the end of every week, you could group them all for Friday afternoon. Do them all during that time, and then you can start Monday without having those things hanging over your head. So these are just a few common strategies that I use with clients to help manage procrastination. In your workbook, there's space for you to note down what some strategies that you might like to use are. You could try these or others that you think of on your own. But it's important that you can recognize that all of us procrastinate at some point, and that in order to overcome it, we need a strategy for managing it. What will your strategy be? I get a lot of questions on multitasking, how to do more at once, ways to manage more tasks in less time, and how to basically be a super person. I personally am not a huge fan of multitasking. The reason why is I think it distracts us by its very nature. By definition, you're doing multiple things at one time. And most studies have shown that when you multitask, you take up to 4 times longer to actually do each of the individual tasks than if you had simply done the tasks on their own. So there isn't a real benefit to multitasking. Although it may seem like we're doing more at once, in reality, if our tasks are taking longer, it's not worth splitting our focus. In addition to how long things take when we're multitasking, it doesn't account for the quality of each of the individual tasks. When we focus on one task at a time, we're able to devote all of our attention, resources, and energy to it, and we tend to do a better job on them. When we're splitting our focus, there's no way that we can devote all of our energy to any one of those tasks, because by definition, we're doing multiple at once. Instead, give each task the time it will take to accomplish it effectively on its own. You've already got the time blocked out. Why not use your schedule effectively to manage each of those individual tasks, rather than trying to accomplish multiple at one time and stress yourself out in the process? I know managing your time, your tasks, and your schedule can seem pretty overwhelming at first, especially if you've never effectively done it before. But hopefully using some of the tools and strategies in this module, you'll be able to do it more effectively than you have in the past. in this module, Time, we talked about setting office hours and creating your basic container for your schedule. We talked about creating time blocks and how important it is to take breaks. We discovered ways to manage your to-dos and your to-do lists and how important it is to have one single to-do list rather than multiple. Once we wrote down your to-dos, we looked at how to schedule them and prioritize them so they could effectively be completed. We looked at how to manage things like interruption-based schedules and what to do with all those spare moments that pop up. We talked about strategies for managing procrastination and why multitasking isn't so effective. Time management really plays into all of the other elements of this system. So take a few minutes and fill out your action plan and see if there's any overlap between the types of things that you were looking at doing, such as organizing your papers or managing your space or your clutter, and see if any of those things dovetail into the new schedules that you've created for yourself. Take some time and fill out your action plan and bring all of those elements together.